Lately, I have been pondering what I would do in the event of a house fire. I'm not known for being melodramatic, nor even all that prepared, but after watching an old episode of The X-Files in which a house burns down, I've been contemplating what I would do. Would I just gather up the pets and get out of the house? That is, assuming that I could find the cat. Or would I also try to take some stuff with me? While I've been thinking about this, I've realized that I've been at least a little wrong about myself this whole time. For years now, I've thought that my late husband Brady was the only one with a strong tie to physical items in the house. And most of the items in the basement are his, items I still need to go through and find new homes for. And while I like to think that I'm very pragmatic about what I keep around, that if it doesn't serve a purpose, then it's gone, I'm wrong. There's plenty of sentimental stuff hanging out in my house that is all mine. There's the Lego R2-D2 that keeps watch over my home office from the top of a bookcase that means a great deal to me. Not only because R2-D2 is my favorite character from the Star Wars franchise, but because he was a gift from Brady for my birthday one year, and I spent several days putting him together. Then there's the lineup card from a Dodgers-Nationals game a few years ago. Those two teams are my two favorite Major League Baseball teams. One of my favorite players, Tyler Clippard, pitched that game, and the card is signed by Davey Johnson, who was in his last year as the manager of the Nationals. There are also all of the items that I accumulated in our long postseason run last year, including two rally towels from two World Series games and another from the World Series parade. Sitting on my mantle above my fireplace is the flag presented to me when we buried Brady's ashes, a reminder of his service to our country. And then there are all the little things that Brady got me as he traveled around the world, reminders that I will not get any more gifts from him. My home office and living room are full of things like that, things that have been gifted to me and things that I have collected over the years simply because I adore them, things that I'd rather not part with. I've either been wrong or just lying to myself this whole time. I'm far more tied to some of my things than I'd like to admit. Which is probably why Jesus' words to the man in today's gospel text sting a little bit when I read them. And perhaps they make you squirm a bit too. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" The man seems earnest and well-intentioned, asking a question that pretty much all of us are interested in the answer to. Jesus then responds by repeating some of the commandments: you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not defraud, honor your father and mother. So far, so good. That all seems reasonable. These are commandments that we know that they're expected, except that Jesus does not stop there. The man said to him, "Teacher, I've kept all of these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and he went away grieving, for he had many possessions. This is hard for me to read. I desperately want to dismiss what Jesus says here, knowing that Jesus asks different things of different people. Surely this is only for this man and not for me or for us. Surely he isn't asking me to give up my warm house, my comfy bed, and my Lego R2-D2. Surely he doesn't want me to sell all of it, give the money to the poor, because then I would be poor and homeless. Another mouth that needs to be fed, another person looking for shelter in the midst of the cold. Maybe he is. I think it's something that we must consider instead of simply writing it off. But maybe he isn't. Maybe Jesus is using a little hyperbole to point out how tied to my stuff I actually am. and that tie can sometimes, and sometimes does, prevent me from following Jesus. How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God, Jesus says. And the more I think about it, the more I think he's right. We have more to lose, more that we are attached to, more to give up, more to walk away from when Jesus insists on leaving quickly and we do not have time to pack. The disciples all walked away from their families, careers, and lives in order to follow Jesus. They have changed. They've been transformed by leaving it all behind and following Jesus. Because I think they've been able to see that what they've received is from Jesus. Every bit of food and clothing has been provided for them. Every gift of grace and mercy has been given to them by God. And they know it. Because there is simply no way that they could lie to themselves about having earned it. They simply don't have the status the world demands in order to believe that they have somehow earned what they have. Instead, they know that it's a gift from God, all of it. Which is, I think, what Jesus is getting at here. That is, to inherit eternal life, we only must be children of God. We cannot earn it. Following the commandments is good and well because that is what children of God do, but following the commandments does not earn us eternal life. And when we have means, when we have any measure of wealth, it doesn't have to be Real Housewives of Orange County or even Potomac kind of wealth, then it's easy for us to believe that we have somehow earned whatever it is that we have. It's easier to trust ourselves more than we trust God. And that's all that God wants. For us to trust God above all else, above our fathers and mothers, above our sisters and brothers, above even ourselves. Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." It's impossible for us to save ourselves. Our houses, our cars, our things, and our bank accounts will never be able to fill the lack that is in our life. Nothing that we have can save us. It's impossible, but not for God. For God, all things are possible, even saving those of us who would choose to walk away, those of us who cannot part with our stuff, those who cannot change our ways, or those of us who fail to create safe communities for those who are perishing. God can and will save all of us, transforming us into people who will follow, even if we walk away first. God is working to transform us into people who care for others and create safe communities for all people, even and especially those who do not look like ourselves. Because that is what the kingdom of God looks like. It's right here, in our midst. It already exists. Jesus is just inviting us to see it.